This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lonnie Johnson, and welcome to another episode of In Focus on KTBB 97.5 and KRWR, the Team, 92.1. You can reach out to us at ktbb.com/infocus. Today, my guest is Karen Holt with the American Red Cross. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. Is there a lot to talk about?
Always. There is so much to talk about with the American Red Cross. What we've been doing the past year, what we have coming up. We've had a lot of change locally within our chapter that began in January. And so lots always going on. You know, in January, we did a chapter consolidation. So the East Texas chapter has been 11 counties for a number of years. And we have 14 counties to the north of us, which was the Northeast chapter, and we just consolidated. So now we are 29 counties, so I serve all of East Texas. And really the reasoning behind that is we want to ensure that we have the capacity to serve East Texas.
29 counties. So I'm logistically challenged. So please, if you could just draw lines north, south, east, and west around all those counties, if you will, like vaguely. So like maybe past Marshall.
Yeah, so we go all the way to the Louisiana border, okay, up to the Arkansas-Oklahoma border, way over to Paris, Texas, okay, roughly. We have all the way over to Henderson County, okay, and down Anderson, Russ County.
Goodness
over
gracious.
To Panola. So yeah, I mean, it's the biggest change, of course, is for me as the executive director, but it forms a more cohesive East Texas when we talk about disaster. You know, East Texas has seen a lot of large disasters in recent years, and that requires a lot of manpower, you know, when we have the size and frequency of what we see. And so to be able to have that cohesiveness with our disaster teams being there to lend a hand and help each other out in East Texas is definitely going to make a huge positive impact on our community.
What are some of the disasters we've had in the past few years?
Oh, gosh. So most recently, we had, if you'll recall, in June of last year, we had the huge, what I like to call, wind event. It wasn't really tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
It was the massive wind event,
sure,
that covered lots of counties. I would say, you know, that's probably was the icing on the cake to make us pull the trigger to consolidate. You know, when you have that large of an event and you have multiple counties, you know, that are affected by a large, you know, geographical area, we need to be able to mobilize, which the Red Cross is great about doing that. But East Texas, just in the last 3 to 5 years, we've seen an increase of tornadoes. We've seen an increase of wind events. We've seen an increase of really cold weather.
And
seems
so different.
It's very extreme. It is extreme.
Yes, it's different. There's an argument I don't want to get into, but if you've lived in East Texas all your life, it's nothing like it was when we were kids growing up. As far as weather patterns, they've changed dramatically. Much more severe weather than we had. Which brings me to the question. So when I think about the Red Cross and what you do, I think of blood drives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think of disasters, like absolute disasters, come to mind. And that's the reason I ask about the East Texas event. I guess you could say the wind event is how you clearly put it. That is something that I wouldn't realize that the Red Cross would be involved in, although it was destructive, selectively destructive, I guess you could say. I didn't see that as a disastrous event, like a plant exploding or, you know, something like that. So what I find interesting is it's not just about those big things that you guys are so helpful with. It is about things like these wind events where maybe 100 people in each county only needed your help because the other people had insurance or whatever. I presume you were helping people with that were like devastated by it, right? Like,
right.
Like it had fallen on their home or they didn't have a place to go.
Exactly. Typically in a disaster, for us to assist, you know, it's major or destroyed on their homes. But you also have to consider, you know, the population in East Texas has risen exponentially in the last 10, 15 years. With that rise,
30%
rise in population, we have daily home fires. That is our biggest disaster. I mean, there's not a 24-hour period that goes by that we are not contacted by our local fire departments or emergency management, you know, someone losing their home to a home fire. And that's one of the big things that we do on top of large-scale disasters, what I would consider large scale, you know, like wind event that we've had, large tornadoes, things like that.
So you said the fire department reaches out to you on behalf of the homeowners, right? Or they let you know the disasters happened.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, when a fire department goes out to a home fire, they contact us either through their dispatch or a lot of times the fire chiefs, they have our disaster program manager's phone number and they give us a call and then we run it through our dispatch system. And then our volunteers, you know, we're 90% volunteer based. And so then that's dispatched out to our team of volunteers. And a lot of times that we have home fires, we go out before the fire department has ever left the scene. And so we're there, you know, providing family with emergency, what I call triage assistance. We want to make sure that individuals are sheltered, fed, and clothed in any type of major medical necessity, whether it be medication or durable medical equipment. Those needs are immediately met.
Real quick, let's get in your URL for the Red Cross, your web address.
Sure, redcross.org and /Tyler or /Longview.
Okay. There was something that I knew of years ago. It was like CPS has a pantry, a couple of pantries in different counties where they keep diapers and blankets and stuff like that that they have to give out.
Right.
Does the Red Cross, do you guys have warehouses full of water or?
So, you know, what we do is it's different. If it's an individual home fire, you know, we'll provide water and we provide mostly financial assistance. So they get to, you know, purchase what they feel is needed for that time. You know, sometimes people that have a home fire, they have a place to go, but they've lost all of their belongings. And they can utilize that financial assistance, you know, for whichever need that they have. We don't necessarily keep a warehouse with food. Now, if on a large scale disaster, that's a little bit different. If we were to have to open a shelter, you know, we have the blankets, the cots.
I think that's what you told me last time. So you have a warehouse with cots.
We do.
Sheets. Mm-hmm. And that's for a Hurricane Katrina or something where you have to.
Yeah, huge, large scale disaster. You know, one of the things that the American Red Cross does, it's readiness all of the time. Prepare and be ready. And so we do have warehouses strategically placed all over the country. We have them here in East Texas. So if we did have to open up a medium to large scale shelter, we have all of those supplies locally. One kind of cool fact, let's say that there is a hurricane stirring in the Gulf, you know, that's going to be coming up in the summertime. And let's say that we have a large hurricane in the Gulf and it's going to hit the Texas Gulf Coast. Before that happens and we see the predictor models and we have, you know, volunteer meteorologists that volunteer for the Red Cross that all they do is track weather. If we see that something's going to happen and hit, then we mobilize and we start moving all of those supplies.
I've seen this.
From all of our places, and we strategically bring those items down to the coast and be strategic about where they're placed.
So when we see the Red Cross and the utility companies coming in,
there you go.
You know things are going to be bad for a couple of days.
You hope not. You always wish for good, but, you know, it's very true. I mean, the mobilization of the American Red Cross and what we provide is truly remarkable. But I also say with that goes, there's a piece of the American Red Cross that the community really needs to understand is as disaster increases, we also want to empower the community to be prepared. The American Red Cross is 90% volunteer based. And so if we do not have local community volunteers that are willing to step up and be trained in running a shelter, be able to go out on those disaster calls, we have to then call on people from other parts of the country to come in and help us. I'm a big proponent, particularly here in East Texas. East Texas is really great about taking care of their own in the event of, crisis or tragedy. And that's something really big that the American Red Cross supports and wants. So volunteering for the American Red Cross, we always need more volunteers to promote our mission and be there in times of crisis.
From the macro to the micro, does the Red Cross, for instance, would the Red Cross now have people in Ukraine?
So we have, we support the International Federation of Red Crosses. So, each country, not every country.
So the Red Cross is international.
Yes, so the American Red Cross is part of an international movement. So there are other Red Crosses in other countries, and so take for instance Ukraine, or the Gaza Strip conflict. Mm-hmm. We are a support to those Red Cross movements in some of those local countries, like the Swiss Red Cross. We will support them internationally.
Okay, so if they said they wanted a team to go into Ukraine and they were lacking, maybe they would tap into their American counterparts.
Correct.
For manpower.
Okay. Yeah, so what we would mostly help with, it's called restoring family links. And so let's say that in particular Ukraine, there are American citizens in Ukraine and they are living in that country. And the Americans that are here at home, their family members have lost contact. We really want to make sure that we are linking those family ties and we're supporting that. And then also, if there is conflict, working with another International Red Cross organization to get those people to safety out of the country if they're in a conflict zone. We're humanitarian. We are neutrality. We are not political. We are there for humans, period. That's why we've survived for over 140 plus years.
That's what I was thinking. You would have to be apolitical to, and especially in this environment, to survive and thrive and be so helpful to people. This, as we talk and when this airs, we'll be right at the 1st of March. And March is?
March is American Red Cross Month. And that we're celebrating, I believe, our 82nd year. So Franklin Roosevelt, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, enacted Red Cross Month in 1940. I can tell you 1943 as Red Cross
Month. 2 years into the war.
Exactly. 2 years into the war. And ever since, March is Red Cross Month. It's really to bring awareness to our oldest and largest humanitarian nonprofit organization in the United States. The American Red Cross is very instrumental within the Geneva Convention and the rules of war and conflict. So not only do we help with disaster here locally and at home, but we support our service to armed forces, our veterans, and our military personnel around the world. So typically when you have a unit of military personnel overseas, there is a unit of American Red Cross staff and volunteers that are very close.
Okay, so at our bases across the world, there's probably
support.
Red Cross staff somewhere along those bases or adjacent to those bases in some way.
Correct.
That's really...
We do a lot. When you think about it, local disaster, large, you know, disaster across the United States, overseas, supporting our armed forces. And then we provide 40% of the nation's blood supply. So that's huge.
What?
We do 40%
of the nation's blood supply.
Yes, and you cannot purchase blood.
Y'all need to go on and give pretty quick because they got a lot to do.
Yeah, believe it or not, only 40%. We provide. We're the largest provider of blood supply in the United States. And, you know, just another fact is only 3 to 4% of Americans donate blood. You know, you probably hear usually in August, in January, you see it's all over the news, the American Red Cross, we have a blood shortage. You know, people depend on that life-saving blood, and blood cannot be bought. Blood can only come from the arm of a donor. So, you
know. Wait a minute. Blood. If I get in a car wreck and I lose how many do we have? Nine pints? Six pints? Mm-hmm. I'm an idiot. I don't know how much we have. But
and you need a pint of blood.
Okay, I need a pint of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and I have to have a pint of blood. Mm-hmm. And I've got money in the bank.
You cannot buy
it. I can't say, I'll give you 10 grand for that pint of blood?
No, it has to go through a volunteer. Someone has to volunteer their arm and supply the blood. That's one thing.
Creeps me out a little bit.
You're relying on your neighbor.
Yes.
Really? And you, there is not.
Neighbors ain't what they used to be, though.
Well, we hope that they are. You know, you think about, I guarantee you, every single listener knows someone that's had to have a blood transfusion, whether it be for cancer, leukemia, sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. They've had a car wreck and they've needed blood. You know, when you go to the hospital, the expectation is they're going to have it. They're going to have that supply and they're going to have the type of blood that you need. And so when you see this on the news, critical shortage, you really need to think about that because you could have a neighbor, a loved one, you know, a coworker. Something is going on in their life, whether it be a tragedy, cancer, or what have you, and they need that blood. We're relying on the American citizens to come out and give 1 hour of their time every 60 to 90 days. That's it. And so it makes a huge difference.
I used to give more than I do. When I grew up in Dallas, and Q102 was a rock station in Dallas, and they were famous for their blood drive with Carter Blood Bank every year and did that. So question, I don't want to get in the minutia here, but you know I have a curious mind. You've been on me before, and it just – how do you – when people donate blood, how do you screen them, like, for fentanyl?
So here, oh my
God. No, it's a morbid question.
No, anytime someone comes in, they have to do a health screening. They have to answer a questionnaire. Of course, you know, you expect everybody to be truthful, answer that questionnaire. Then after they go through that questionnaire, you know, they do a finger stick to make sure that their iron level is sufficient enough.
Trust but verify.
Blood pressure, basic check before they get into the chair. Once they donate blood, that blood then, so after we have a blood drive, as soon as that's over, we've got a van waiting outside and they take the blood to our blood center, which for us is Dallas. And it's a 24/7 facility that does nothing but type and process blood. So the blood that's donated goes through a lot of filters. It goes through a lot of tests. It's typed. And that happens very fast because, I mean, as soon as blood comes in, it's processed. And then it is sent to wherever it is needed. So,
what's the most needed type?
So, universal is O. Okay. Universal
because it's so rare.
Well, O positive is the most transfused blood type. So let's say somebody has a accident and they are whatever blood type they are, they can have blood O positive transfused with no adverse reaction.
No kidding. So if I'm A negative.
So when somebody comes in and they're O positive, I always say, oh, you've got the golden blood, you know, because that is universal. So if you were in a tragic car accident and you don't know your blood type, they're going to give you O positive because it can be for, again, universally used.
Oh, that's right, because in that moment.
O-neg, yeah, O-neg and O-neg and O-positive, so just O blood types, because not everybody knows their blood types. I will say I think that's important. One thing that the American Red Cross does have is they have a blood app. So when you are a donor with us, you can download this app, this neat little app on your phone, and it keeps track of how many units of blood you've donated over the course of your life. But it also can tell you once you've donated where your blood has gone and how many lives it has saved. One unit of blood can save up to 3 lives. And so let's say you donated unit of blood last week, and that blood was processed and sent to, I don't know, West Texas or up north, wherever it goes. It'll tell you where that blood went, and it will tell you how many people that one pint of blood went to. I mean, and that's lives saved, so it's pretty good. It doesn't, of course, it just tells you your blood went to here, here, and here. It's pretty neat little
You could save donor 3 app. People with one pint of blood?
You can. You can save up to 3 lives. It's amazing with one pint of blood.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the records, how far back do they go?
Well, this app is relatively new in the last couple of years.
We're going down a wormhole for me, so I want to correct myself. I'm really sorry. I'm gonna retract us because my curiosity. You know, I have a problem with curiosity, and I really want to go down that wormhole. But let's talk about smoke alarms right now. We just talked about fires.
Yeah.
So let's talk about smoke alarms and the importance of smoke alarms.
So, you know, smoke alarms save lives. We do have a program. It's called our Sound the Alarm program. We do that 365 days a year. October is our big Sound the Alarm Smoke Alarm Awareness Month. But we provide smoke alarms to anybody that needs them in their homes. We come out and install those smoke alarms. Oh. All you have to do is call your local chapter. Just call our local office, and we put you on a list. And one of our smoke alarm volunteers will come out and install working smoke alarms in your home. You know, we want to save lives. I mean, that's the end of it. You know, disaster happens.
I think smoke kills more people than fire.
That is true.
So
smoke inhalation. I mean, so you would be surprised. You know, we've all done it. We've had those smoke alarms on the walls, and they start chirping in the middle of the night, and we go and we rip that 9-volt battery out, and we just, you know, forget about it. One thing about our smoke alarms is we provide the smoke alarm, but we also have a 10-year lithium battery. So they last for 10 years. So, of course, we always encourage, you know, a spring forward time change is coming up. And we always tell folks, test your batteries during spring forward and fall back. Always test your smoke alarm twice a year when you're changing your clocks. Test your smoke detectors. But, yeah, we just want to ensure that everybody has working smoke detectors that can. It may not save loss of property, but it can definitely save a life.
Absolutely. And people can call the Red Cross, and if they don't have smoke detectors in their home, and you guys will come out and put smoke detectors in their home.
Yes, that's what we do.
No questions asked.
No questions asked.
No money needed.
No money needed. We do that. That's one of our big programs. You know, when we talk about preparedness, we do smoke alarm installation. We have lots of trainings, you know, that we can provide. Of course, you know, we're CPR. We do CPR and first aid trainings. Now, of course, CPR and first aid, that's you have to pay to get that.
But you're certified and you could save a life versus
absolutely.
I don't think a lot of people realize when you administer CPR how violent you have to be with the body.
Very.
And I think that they don't want to hurt the person. But I've almost heard that if you do it correctly, you probably
you might
crack
break
a rib.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and it's exhausting.
That's much better than losing their life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if I didn't like them, I just want to break their rib to save their life, you know. But I think a lot of people don't know how to do that. And whether it's the Heimlich maneuver for choking, CPR, any of this stuff, I would encourage anyone to go take one of these classes. It's money well spent.
Yeah, $30 and you're certified for like 2 years. Now, we do offer two things that are kind of a mini version of CPR. It's called hands-only CPR. We do that. Typically, anytime that we're doing any trainings around preparedness, we can teach hands-only CPR, which is just a quick 10 or 15 minute crash course in CPR. And then we also do what's called Be Red Cross Ready and Ready Rating, and that's really for businesses. And then where we come in and we teach businesses, the employees, you know, the hands-only CPR. We make sure that they have a fire evacuation plan in the event of a fire. It's really kind of a first aid disaster triage class that we can do for businesses too. And we do all that free of charge.
Let's give your URL out one more time.
Redcross.org/Tyler or redcross.org/Longview. To donate blood or to sign up for blood drives, you go to redcrossblood.org.
Perfect. Now, well, we'll kind of begin the descent with the Hero Care Network. Let's talk about that.
Love the Hero Care Network. That's part of our service to armed forces. And, you know, for our military and veterans, there should never be a need or a want. If you serve our country or have served our country, you know, we should support. And so our Hero Care Network is multifaceted. It can provide resiliency classes, mental health classes. We partner with several veterans organizations in the community to provide those classes. One other big component of the Service to Armed Forces program is if you have a service member overseas and there is a tragedy or emergency back at home, the family member, you would think, would contact the military to get a hold of their family member in the military. That is incorrect. They contact the American Red Cross.
And so, on their behalf, the American Red Cross locates the soldier and facilitates the communication with him.
That is correct, and also communicates with their commanding officer, the military. If it's something that they need to get home for rather quickly, the military, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll get the leave, but we can also provide that assistance to get them back home as quick as
possible. The
military
bring them to a base.
Correct.
And then you guys... Yeah. Fix the final leg or help with the final leg. That's a very great service. But, you know, it's nice that I'm on the second interviews with a lot of you because I realize the more depth and width of what you do. You know, but we focus obviously on the community, the local community, a lot in what you do. But I thought this time I would, you know, just kind of understand the global aspect of the Red Cross, because I think my first impression of Red Cross was on the show MASH, seeing the Red Cross ambulance.
Sure.
You know, that was my thing when I was a kid, that I saw that, and that's what, you know, you would see them in white, and I mean, it was just, you know, always there, and we always see them in national disasters, and I just, you know, I just think it's a great thing that we have. We're privileged to live in a country and a world, I guess I should say, where there's assistance for families with the military, with people serving overseas, that they can contact their loved ones through you guys. I think that's just as important as, you know, helping somebody with a flood.
Sure. And all of that's done by volunteers. 90% volunteers and also the generous donations of the local community. And we couldn't do it without East Texas community supporting us and, you know, sharing our mission, supporting our mission, and volunteering to help in all of these aspects and programs that we've talked about today.
What's the best way to donate?
Donate through redcross.org, or you can stop by our local chapter office in Tyler, which is 320 East Rock Road, or in Longview, which is 501 Pine Tree Road at Community Connections. So either way, online, or you can come by and see us.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.